You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener and checking us out every week on Afro Vibes Radio. But hey, if you somehow don't get a chance to check us out Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Afro Vibes Radio, please don't hesitate to check out our podcast page. That's anchor.fm/HW Connection. That's HWCONNECTION. Again, check us out on our anchor.fm podcast page. Check out all the shows uploaded there immediately after the show airs on Afro Vibes Radio. Also, if you want to listen to the show live on Afro Vibes Radio, please download the app, AfroVibesRadio.com. You can download it from the website or go to your local or favorite, mobile OS app, be it Android or iPhone. Download the app on your phone today. You can stream the show as well as the awesome Afrobeat Music Collection live on your phone for free. Again, no money down, all free, all awesomeness. Do it today. Again, if you want to reach out to me personally, you can always get at me on Instagram. My name, Dr. Barry MD, DrBarryMD. Also, you can email me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. That's Dr. Barry, DrBarryHealth@gmail.com. And last but not least, Facebook is also where we're at, posting all the shows as well as other exciting articles. Check us out at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. Any feedback, any even sponsorship opportunities, because we are very highly listened podcast, always looking for sponsors. Check us out if you're interested in sponsoring the show. And also, you can do it on the Anchor FM page. You can donate, become a super sponsor. We're going to get a lot of cool freebies for those people who do sign up. So check us out again. It's Dr. Barry here. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hello, 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 and welcome, guys, to the Health and Wellness Connection radio show / podcast. It's your host, Dr. Barry. I want to thank you for joining us today on this latest episode of the Health and Wellness Collection show. We're going to be talking, of course, about all the hottest topics in the health and wellness arena. And we're going to really be, you know, hitting some of the numbers for coronavirus and what's really going on with that. And, you know, really bring on all the different news items, especially with Trump mentioning coronavirus and how he is doing, as well as just the overall landscape regarding, you know, the treatment and, you know, how it's going to really play out, you think, over the next few months. So it's going to be a big show, guys. Let's talk about it. Let's go. So again, guys, the coronavirus, of course, is still a thing. And the concern is that, you know, we're getting into that fall season, which there was a lot of worry about previously, because this is traditionally the flu and cough and cold season. You know, so it's going to get colder. People are going to be going indoors, you know, hanging around each other, leading to increased of, you know, passing of different viral infections and bacterial infections and so forth. Something we see normally every year. So now with we have the COVID, or I should say coronavirus, in the mix, and it's clear a deadly kind of path that it's created so far. You know, there's a fear that there's going to be a significant surge in more sick patients. We may approach some of those hospital hospitals being overrun like we saw earlier in the year. So that being said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, different treatment strategies that have been developed. So we're hoping that, you know, with the new treatment options that are starting to come online, we're going to see less deaths. You know, the infection rate may go up. We may see less deaths. So let's talk about some of the numbers briefly. Again, still number one leading country with cases of the coronavirus is the USA. 7 million and 700,000 people roughly have tested positive and are currently actively considered, have had the illness, About 5 million have recovered. So that's great, leaving about 2 million active patients. Total new cases is going about 50,000 a day now. So we're ticking upwards slowly. Remember, if you recall, during the summer months, we're in the 30s, typically sometimes in the 20s. So now we're approaching 50,000 new cases a day and about 1,000 deaths per day. So still a significant number of people succumbing to the illness. People can say, oh, the number is this, the number is that, they're doctored, they're fake. But the reality is this. There's a consistent number of new diagnoses and new deaths being reported. And, we can definitely dive into why that is, but we kind of touched on it many times, so we're going to keep repeating it. But clearly it's being large cities, cities with large populations who are socioeconomically deprived are seemingly the most affected. California is still number one state with 800,000 cases, averaging about 3,000 to 4,000 cases a day of new cases and about 100 deaths. Texas, number two, Florida, and then New York, number four, and Georgia, number five. So there's definitely a lot of, cases just kind of all over the country. Really red and blue states are involved. It's not really a partisan issue. This is another reason why a lot of scientists are getting frustrated because, most states are kind of being affected and it's not really related to their politics. So the fact that it's become a political situation is, a bit concerning, especially in the scientific community. But that being said, the coronavirus is still, causing a lot of issues throughout the United States, which is part of the reason why there's a lot of concern that there may be a potential upcoming lockdown to help stem the tide. This is what's starting to come out of some of these scientific organizations as far as ways we can get a handle on this coronavirus outbreak we're starting to see, especially that and as well as mask usage being re-emphasized. And really, as I've stated here throughout this whole pandemic, masks can be very helpful in reducing the transmission simply because it just creates an additional barrier for the virus to have to penetrate in order to cause an infection. So, this logic will tell you that there has to be some benefit if you believe the virus is a thing. So USA number one, India number two. That's another thing that's actually not being underreported in the media. India has had a significant surge in cases, averaging about 70, 80,000 new cases being diagnosed every day. And the sad part is, they believe that they're actually under testing in India. They're only averaging about 59,000 tests per 1 million people, which is still pretty low given that India has 1.3 billion people. So, there's definitely concern that India is having a significant amount of coronavirus cases. The one thing that is on the bright side, if there is one, is that India, despite having the high number of diagnoses, and they also have about 7 million total cases that has been reported, they've had a fairly low death rate. Actually, only 100,000 people have died, which is actually half of the United States, which has less than a third of the same population. So, India has definitely, been fortunate in that regard. So, despite the high number of cases, there's significantly less deaths than we're seeing in the United States than we're seeing in India. Another country also going through with the coronavirus is Brazil. They've kind of been on the, right behind USA for a while. They've dropped since India has taken over, but still averaging about 30,000 new cases per day. Total of 5 million cases in Brazil and about 700 deaths. So they're a little bit smaller than the United States. So for their population, it's actually pretty high as far as the number of deaths and issues people they're dealing with coronavirus are having. So Brazil definitely still up there at number three. Number four is Russia, 1.2 million total cases. So relatively low given a population of 145 million people. But they're averaging about 11,000 new cases per day. And then five is Colombia with about 7,000 to 8,000 new cases per day. Spain, Argentina, Peru, Mexico. So definitely a lot of issues going on in Southern America and those countries down there. Definitely having a significant bout of the coronavirus going into the fall season. So again, we're watching that closely, and it's definitely something of concern because, as we see a lot of new cases in Americas and so forth, countries, in the Asian communities like China, Thailand, South Korea, and so forth have, outrageously low, numbers that are just so inconsequential at this point. It's pretty shocking. They're almost pretty much back to, you know, normal. So, you know, and for reasons for that is, you know, definitely something science is still trying to figure out. Some would argue they've had better, you know, measures to help reduce spread and better quarantining measures. But, you know, definitely there's some, you know, suspicion of some other factors at play here. You know, and you know, we say the China numbers are low. A total of 85,000 cases total were actually officially recorded. They have had no deaths for a significant amount of time. Only a total of 4,000 deaths total. So, and this is a country of 1.4 billion people. So, I mean, the numbers, you know, unless, you know, China, people suspect they're not really telling the truth on their numbers, but officially, that's what we're seeing. So, you know, something that we have to figure out as far as why such a significant difference. You know. So anyway, so let's talk about some of the local or the United States politics, if you will, because it's kind of been all over the news. I'm sure you guys know that Trump has recently been diagnosed with coronavirus. You know, he's been going on treatments. He actually did a stint in the hospital where he was hospitalized. So Trump was hospitalized October 2nd. They said he started having some symptoms. He got low oxygen, and then he became a little bit fatigued. So they decided to admit him to monitor his vital signs as well as give him some medication. Now, the interesting thing about the whole coronavirus issue is that many people have accused the Trump administration of not taking the pandemic seriously, especially when you look at the numbers and you see the significant increase or high levels of infections as well as deaths in the United States. And many people have used that to criticize the Trump administration, their handling of the pandemic, if you will. So, of course, they have really resisted that narrative and really fought back and kind of stated that they have done what they felt was the best job that could have been done. And that has led to a lot of back and forth. But with the president actually contracting the virus, it really turned it on a whole new perspective, because many people, you know, felt that with, you know, there was some level of deniability going on. Many people say that due to Trump's resistance on pushing mask wearing until late in the pandemic. And just still pushing to having the large rallies and other things that many experts believe wasn't really safe given the danger of the virus. And with the recent deaths of prominent politicians like Herman Cain and other prominent politicians getting sick, it was definitely believed that this virus could be very dangerous, especially to the older folks who are out there, especially, which typically is a lot of politicians. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, despite the dangers, many still were shocked that the president and other politicians were still moving along, wrongdoing, and having a large gathering. So, that being said, Trump eventually became ill and was hospitalized. Now, while he was in the hospital, he actually got a pretty interesting treatment plan that many believe could be potentially the future treatment plan that's going to be used to address folks who have significant complications from coronavirus. Now, mind you, while Trump was hospitalized, he was really the main one hospitalized in that group. The funny thing is, many people around him also were ill. I think it was believed about 18 people close who had, in the White House, were tested positive. A few were having symptoms. Trump was one of the few who were actually hospitalized. Being that he's technically obese and elderly, he's 70 plus. That puts him at a higher risk as far as complications from coronavirus. So it's not surprising that he actually was the one to require hospitalization due to abnormal vital signs. That being said, Trump, when he was hospitalized, he actually got a unique cocktail of drugs that, you know, involved some experimental drugs as well as other medication that weren't used typically in that same fashion. And many people are looking at this as potentially evidence that there are some effective measures that potentially could help reduce some of the severe complications we're seeing in patients who do get the coronavirus infection. Now, one of the main drugs that's receiving a lot of attention, and primarily because it's one of those drugs that was discussed, but it's still been under pretty tight research. Not many people were aware of it because they hadn't really even published their data yet. But with the use in Trump's medical care, you know, they have now been more forthcoming with some of their recent internal data that they were seeing with their treatment plan and why it was given to Trump. And they believe this could have been one of the major medications that really helped President Trump get over some of the initial symptoms by helping reduce some of the viral load. Now, how does this medication work? Regeneron is a medication known as a monoclonal antibody. Now, let me tell you how this works. It's actually pretty fascinating. So far, so what happens is this medication is created by infecting mice that have the immune system of actual adult humans. So they're actually mice that have been created in the lab that actually have the same type of immune system as humans. So they actually produce human T cells, which is an immune cell that produces chemicals that help fight infection. It also produces other immune cells like B cells, which actually produce antibodies, which is one of the components that the immune system creates to fight viruses and infections. So essentially what these mice are used to do, they're actually infected with the virus. They then produce antibodies to fight the virus. Because their immune systems are of human-like, their antibodies can then be used to put in human beings to treat them if they've been infected with the virus themselves, but their immune system may not be able to mount a strong enough, fight to reduce the virus infection. So it's very kind of high tech stuff here, and clearly since it's this very significant genetic kind of manipulation they're using, you can definitely tell the medication itself is not going to be cheap. So the prices officially have not come out yet, but I could bet you it's going to be thousands of dollars to receive such a treatment, if you do get sick and in the hospital with this medication. Now, because the president is the president, he's going to get whatever is available, and the cost will be taken care of by the American people. So, thank God for socialism, right? Wink, wink, but a whole other discussion. Either way, this medication is extremely sophisticated. It actually blocks, it actually helps the body, basically delivers antibodies that have been designed to basically neutralize the virus, that had been created outside of the body and given to the patients via IV. And it's apparently been very effective in helping reducing some of those significant complications we're seeing in populations that are especially susceptible to a coronavirus. So really futuristic stuff. And again, this stuff is not even available to the public yet. It's still under research. Trump was actually given this medication under the Compassionate Care Program, which is actually designed to give to patients who are essentially on their dying bed, and because death is better than that's a side effect of a potential experimental drug, will excuse the use of it on this patient because they're so close to death. Now, it's believed Trump was never close to death, so it's kind of shocking how he was still given this medication, which shows again the power of having an exceptional medical care set up where you can get whatever you need, despite how rare it is. So again, it's funny because I mentioned this on Facebook, how I believe despite his advanced age and other risk factors, he would have a great chance of surviving because he would have access to the best medical care you could potentially get as a human being. And this is an example of that, very high-tech experimental drugs. Now, in 5 years, this thing may be actually relatively available for everyone else. However, it's not going to be cheap because just how it's made. So, things like this is what's going to allow people like President Trump and others who have access to these kind of options to potentially survive. So it is kind of showing you kind of what's out there and, what's going on as far as healthcare and medicine and the overall scientific response to this. All right, now that was the first and kind of the most unique drug there, Regeneron. The second medication he was given, which is something we've actually discussed on this show, was Remdesivir. Now, Remdesivir is a medication that's used fairly regularly now for sick or what we call people who are severely ill with coronavirus. It's actually recommended they be in the ICU before it's even considered. Now, of course, Trump was never in the ICU, according to official reports. So, again, but it was something that he has been given fairly aggressively since he was diagnosed. And many believe that this also was potentially effective in helping him clear the virus a little bit sooner and reduce his symptoms. All right, so we're going to actually take a break, guys. I'm getting a note from the engineer. Sit tight. We're going to come right back, discuss more of this treatment plan that Trump got, as well as some of the other things that we're noticing, with the overall pandemic and ways we can kind of, things we can take out from this whole situation that we're seeing. Again, it's Dr. Barry here. Sit tight. We'll be right back after the break. Hello, hello, guys, and welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection radio show. It's your host, Dr. Barry. Thanks for listening to the show and really, sitting and talking with us, talking and just listening to us, if you will, regarding some of the things we're seeing regarding the overall, treatment that President Trump received during his recent bout with coronavirus. So, again, as we stated before, President Trump was recently diagnosed with coronavirus. He was hospitalized over the weekend, October 2nd. He was discharged relatively quickly as well, October 4th, I think. Either way, he was, while he was there, he was getting a lot of experimental treatments and plans that many people are kind of now looking into, because it seems that some of these treatments may potentially be the future standard medications given for folks who do have this illness. Now, before the break, we were talking about remdesivir, we mentioned Regeneron, which is a monoclonal antibody, very sophisticated experimental stuff that we believe may be part of the reason why Trump was able to improve his vital signs relatively quickly. He also did receive remdesivir, which is a drug we've talked about here on the show as well. Now, this drug works also at the genetic level. It actually helps reduce the virus's ability to replicate. It does this by essentially interfering with the virus replication process at the genetic level. So, it's believed that, by attacking the virus at the genetic level, it actually will reduce the virus's ability to replicate, which will reduce the viral load, which will again reduce the overall effectivity of the virus. Now, we mentioned the monoclonal antibody Regeneron. Now, that actually works by, like we said, neutralizing the virus by essentially coating the virus and blocking its ability to attack human cells. So basically, the virus has a certain protein on it that allows it to bind to a cell, which then allows the virus to penetrate that cell. If you're able to block that protein, then the virus will be unable to bind to that cell. This is how Regeneron works. So you have the virus being blocked to enter the cell, then you have the virus being blocked from replicating. So you have a two-pronged attack that's, many believe may be a way to help reduce some of these viral infections for really, doing a number on many patients. So, these two drugs, again, remdesivir, are also extremely expensive as well. Yes, like we were saying, remdesivir, approximately $3,000 per treatment. So it's a five-day treatment that you take, and it's supposed to help reduce the viral load and overall improve reduce the risk of severe complications from coronavirus infection. So, definitely some new exciting medications on the market. And one thing about remdesivir, it's actually, again, one of the few drugs that have shown some improvement in severe complications in patients who are potentially infected with the coronavirus. The thing about also this drug is that it's also heavily restricted, even though it's, there's a charge on it, which is obviously going to be there. It's not something that you can actually easily get. The government actually restricts how much goes to certain allocations. So it's produced by Gilead Sciences, a United States-based biochemical firm, and they are actually basically instructed by the government where it can go. Now, of course, if you're the president, it's going to be available as needed. So, so the reason why I'm bringing these up as far as the cost and overall circumstances is because if you're saying, I'm going to do what I want and I'm going to just play and go out and have out, and if I get sick, I'll just be hospitalized and I'll get the cure, if you will. I know many people are saying it's only hydroxychloroquine, which is clearly not the case. That has been shown to not be effective in multiple studies now. So it's not even something we're actually seriously looking at anymore. But the reality is that remdesivir and these other experimental drugs are going to be extremely expensive. So, if you want, to be ideally, prepared for coronavirus, you want to try to reduce your risk of having to need these medications. Hence the reason we talk a lot about health and wellness. And we'll talk about some natural treatments you can do now very shortly. So again, remdesivir, it's out there, restricted, very expensive, assuming you can get it. So, all right. So another drug that he also received while he was getting hospitalized was a steroid. The interesting thing about, when I say steroids, by the way, I don't mean the steroids that you see the athletes trying to take to jump higher and get stronger. This steroid is known as dexamethasone, which is actually a steroid designed to reduce inflammation. You guys recall, we stated how the coronavirus infection It's believed to potentially work via stimulating severe inflammation throughout the body. Now, there has been some dispute on this theory, but overall, it's still believed to be the prevailing mechanism of how this virus does its thing. It causes inflammation throughout the body, resulting in organ damage, particularly in the lungs, which is one of the areas that can cause severe death due to the body's lungs being damaged and being unable to ventilate the person, and therefore causing them to have no oxygen, which could ultimately cause death. So now the thing about inflammation is that when inflammation gets out of hand, it can cause so much injury to parts of the body. You want to reduce it. IV steroids have been old way of reducing inflammation, because it's known to help suppress the immune system, which reduces the body's inflammatory mediators, which cause a lot of damage. You see a lot of infections. It's been used for a long time for many, many ailments. So recently it's shown that patients who have been given these steroids, especially those who are hospitalized in a critical care setting, have had improved outcomes. And so for this very reason, it's been used. It's now starting to get more use in treatment of coronavirus. So he was given that for a day or so. Steroids, the only bad thing, they have a lot of side effects. The problem with them as well, so they tend to not be used very extensively. It's usually, once you start steroids, you want to reduce them as soon as you can because of some of the severe issues that can cause to normal bodily functions. Now, and this also is one thing that was actually attributed sometimes to what many believe could have been some apparent erratic behavior from President Trump. There was belief that, after receiving the steroids, people develop agitation, paranoia, and even psychosis. And, because sometimes Trump has a very erratic posting style on his social media accounts, many believe this was influencing his behavior recently while he was in the hospital. So again, interesting times, but we do believe that steroids can be effective in treatment of coronavirus infections, especially when it comes to serious complications. So it's being used more commonly now. Now also, it wasn't just all experimental drugs he was getting too. There's definitely a use of some of the tried and true immune boosting supplements that we've known and talked about here extensively on this show, and many people have known in the community, to be effective in helping your immune system. Zinc was something he was given, and something that is well known to boost immune system function, improves function of your white blood cell. It's just an overall good supplement to be on when you are trying to keep your immune system strong. I actually recommend taking this usually every fall season, especially just because of the increase in flu and RSV and other bugs that are out there causing infections. So you should be taking a zinc supplement regularly in general anyway. Ideally, if you're taking a multivitamin, which is probably something you should be doing, especially now, it'll have zinc in there, so you can make sure you get that supplementation in your diet. So yeah, zinc is safe for all ages. And ideally, you want to get about 8 milligrams of zinc per day. So you want to, and if you're a woman, especially lactating woman, you want to get that up to probably 13 milligrams per day. Now, ideally, instead of taking supplements, you should ideally be eating foods that are rich in zinc. The best sources of zinc include beans, animal meats, nuts, fish, other seafood, whole grain cereals, and dairy products. So if you're a nut lover like me, as far as, loving your roasted nuts and all those kind of mixed nuts, excellent way to get all these great essential minerals, especially like zinc, in there. So you want to definitely consume a lot of those kind of foods. Vegetarians, though, if you're not eating nuts, you're not eating those meats, are actually a big source of zinc as well, fish and animal meats, other seafood. So sometimes vegetarians can be deficient in zinc, so you want to make sure you're looking at that and considering a supplement if you are a vegetarian, and make sure you monitor those levels, because you don't want to have increases of illness because your zinc levels are low. So be sure, if you're vegetarian, guys, look at your zinc, look at zinc supplementation. If you eat meat, you're probably doing all right, but again, zinc supplementation is not a bad idea in general, because zinc is relatively safe overall. And so the president did get zinc, and it's a good option, good idea, because it does improve your immune system function, and I'm sure it contributed to the president being able to improve his symptoms relatively quickly, despite his high risk profile. Vitamin D was also given as well, very good medication for immune support as well as bone health and so forth. Also, X and drug. You can take about 800 international units a day, but it should ideally be the multivitamin supplement you're taking daily. It'll help get some of that vitamin D up to snuff. Now, one thing I did not see in this profile, but something you should probably start doing as well if you're not doing it currently, vitamin C. Excellent supplement to take as well to help improve your immune system function. This is also something you should probably consider taking in a supplement package as well, because it's also effective for immune system functionality. Vitamin B6 is great as well. Another good supplement for immune system function also helps energy level and red blood cell functionality. So definitely you want to consider those vitamins. In general, just take a good vitamin supplement. Men's One a Day, Centrum. There's so many options on the market. Ensure it has these minerals like zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, has a allotted amounts of those medications. Iron is also one that you want to consider. Many supplements do not have iron in them because of the potential for iron overdosing and toxicity. Consider iron, especially if you have a history of anemia. But if you're taking iron, things like that, definitely consider seeing a doctor for a full profile, by the way. And actually, guys, quick announcement. Going to be having my own virtual practice soon. So very soon you'll be able to actually make a call with Dr. Barry. So stay tuned for that. More news on that very soon. That being said, so, you know, those are some of the main meds he took. He also took a daily aspirin as well. Because one thing about coronavirus, which we're seeing, is that it causes a significant amount of clotting to occur throughout the body, meaning that you have a very high risk of developing blood clots in your blood vessels when you have these coronavirus infections. The other day, I saw a patient who recently had a coronavirus infection, actually had also blood clots in her lungs. So, you know, this coronavirus is very deadly because it's not a simple flu-like virus, people are saying. It actually can promote clotting. So you can actually increase your risk for stroke and heart attack and blood clots in the legs and in the chest. Blood clots, which are very deadly if in the wrong place. So, you know, this is something that we're seeing more and more of. And as a result, many people who are being diagnosed with the coronavirus infections are starting to be recommended to start taking a daily aspirin to help reduce some of the inflammation and the clotting parts, risk that you can have with coronavirus infection. So, you know, things that he was put on that many people believe are what were helping the president recover as he's doing. Now, again, he's not out of the woods yet, but I believe that some of these medications can be effective in helping reduce his risk of going into a sicker situation. Now, one other thing that was very was kind of interesting is that what was not a part of his treatment regimen, at least nothing that was officially listed on the records that were available to the public, was hydroxychloroquine. After the huge back and forth and all the political gamesmanship behind this medication, and is it the cure, is it not the cure? You even had a group of doctors, again, the America's Frontline Docs, that, again, no one's talking about now, but I remember when they came out, I was getting bombarded with it. Are these people real? Who are these people? Do you know if they're telling the truth? How come you're not, you know, co-signing them? I was like, listen, guys, we don't know who's actually behind this group. But again, people have forgotten about them, so you know, they were touting hydroxychloroquine as a big cure, if you will. And ironically enough, it was not a part of Donald Trump's treatment plan. So interesting how that worked out. However, you know, at the end of the day, we've known that hydroxychloroquine is not a cure, but, you know, it's something that, you know, potentially could be useful early on, but even then it's not extremely effective. So that being said, you know, those are pretty much the medications that President Trump received in his treatment plan, and it looks like he's improving. You know, he has apparently, he's now back in the White House. He's still looking, apparently he's able to talk and do his work and so forth. So there are some good overall benefits we're seeing with these medications. That being said, you know, we'll see the long-term outcome of how these meds are used. Many of these meds are still waiting FDA approval. Remdesivir still hasn't fully been approved. There's some preliminary approvals in place for it to be used currently. Regeneron has no even FDA approval yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how these medications, you know, kind of make their mark in the overall treatment for this coronavirus infection and how this overall will affect the, you know, the government's, American government, I should say, approach toward the coronavirus. So it's going to be an interesting next few weeks, guys. The elections are coming up in America. It's going to be also a tumultuous time. You know, this could be a global, this have global implications. I'm sure everyone is aware. So we're going to be watching closely and seeing how this affects overall, you know, functionality of the United States and the global, you know, health community in general. So You know, that being said, we're actually running out of time. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Stay tuned. We're going to have awesome content coming forward next few weeks. Some great interviews approaching, great guests coming on, and it's going to be entertaining. So sit tight, and hopefully you'll be with us as we journey into this fall season of 2020. Again, this is Dr. Barry. Thanks for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection radio show. I will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast and radio show. For more information on ways to get healthy, please check us out. www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. Here you can re-listen to the show, check out older shows, and even further support the show by becoming a subscriber to the podcast. Please check us out today. Again, that's anchor.fm/HW Connection. And also, don't forget to follow Dr. Barry on Instagram @DrBarryMD. Until next time, stay healthy.